You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. That is an appropriate song for what is indeed a hot August night here in Tennessee. And I don't know how many old-fashioned tent revivals the Jewish Elvis went to, but he sure sounds like he knows what he's talking about in that song. Does he not? Keith Alexander, welcome back, buddy.
Well, thanks. It's great to be back. Yep. I was telling James that song, I believe, was produced and recorded here in Memphis by Chips Moman. Most of Neil Diamond's big hits, like Sweet Caroline, for example, and Holly Holy, were recorded at American Studio in Memphis. And Chips Moman was really a very underappreciated figure in Memphis music and in American music. He could make hits from everything from gospel to country to soul music, to pop music. He did the Box Tops. He did things like Ring Ring by the, what was the name of that group? The Cimarron or whatnot. He did Neil Diamond. He did Elvis's big comeback album that had Kentucky Rain.
Great song.
All of those, you know, those great songs that he had when he was that the early 70s or late 60s?
Kentucky Rain, it was circa late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
And this is an important topic, and, you know, we should probably keep talking about it.
But this is Elvis Week, by the way.
That's true. That is timely.
This is Elvis Week. We have two Elvis Weeks in the year. We have Elvis's birth date and the anniversary of Elvis's death. This is the anniversary of Elvis's death.
It's sort of like Christmas and Easter, but for Elvis.
That's right. Yeah, right. It is a quasi-religion. You know, there's no doubt about it. That people come here making pilgrimages. Probably we're second to Mecca in the world for the number of pilgrimages that come to.
Man, you should go by Graceland this time of year, and all the candles are lit. It's something else.
That's gonna be right. You know, I think I may get myself involved in all this this year because, you know, as time goes by, I've had an increasing appreciation for Elvis. His music is really good, and he was just, you know, he had so much talent. He could, again, cover just about anything and make a hit out of it. He had his own unique style.
Mississippi Boy Done Good.
That's right. Mississippi Jewish Boy. Very, he said, you know,
yeah, everybody's Jewish. But that's Neil Diamond, though, actually is.
Chips Moman said he's going to make him the Jewish Elvis.
But Elvis, yeah, very poor. Interesting story, Elvis. And, of course, I guess he's the second biggest thing to hit Memphis since us. So, but it's great to have Keith back. Keith, 8-month sabbatical for Keith. Keith, like any good university professor or Southern Baptist pastor, gets a sabbatical after 7 years of service. I still haven't gotten mine, but yeah, nevertheless.
Let me apologize if anybody had any confusion about this. I have not gone over to the dark side. I actually ran for office, and I ran for an office that I thought had the most governing or sovereign power of any type of down-ballot race, and really came real close. Now, let me just add this to the end. The general election, I lost in the primary because of a bombardment by the local newspaper of my associations with ties to white nationalism, as they said. But the Republican Party had a historic wipeout. Their new theme song for the Shelby County Republican Party should be Wipeout by the Safaris. I mean, they lost virtually every position. And they did it for reasons that I think are, you know, we ought to just touch on very briefly. If you'll notice, the Democrats are getting further to the left. The Republicans, if they intend to win, they're going to have to go further to the right. The nation is getting polarized, and these bland pastel candidates that the Republicans continue to run, as they did in this local election, just won't cut the mustard, James.
Well, as you mentioned, Keith, the Shelby County Republican Party was completely waxed on Election Day, which was last week. They have their general election for the local offices in August, and their county mayor, which would have been the head of the ticket, the Shelby County Republican candidate for county mayor, all the way down, just got obliterated, and I couldn't be more happier. I know that they returned your $25 contribution.
Oh, yeah. I've been, it's like in Oh Brother, We're Out There, I've been banished from World Worth and beat up by a Bible salesman. I was, you know, they've actually excommunicated me from the Republican Party, and like I said, I quite frankly, yeah, really.
Yeah, can they keep money from Antifa? Actually, Keith, you brought it up. This won't be as good as Sam producing it, but I would like to play this very quickly for the Republican Party. So that's what happened to them.
They lost
week.
Every down ballot race,
and they were so sickening to see with the Shelby County GOP chairman
and the people that they trotted out there were. I mean, campaign slogan should be "I'm a slob and I need a job." They didn't want to do anything, take any position on anything. And the head of the Republican Party has come under intense fire since then. The guy that excommunicated me from the Republican Party, he actually, you know, has been in the crosshairs of every local talk show host about what a lousy job he did and how he neglected his job as head of the Republican Party locally to focus on his wife's virtually unlosable race. She had a state representative position out in some suburb where it would have been, you know, cataclysmic if a Republican hadn't won that. But he just basically didn't tend to his knitting, and as a result, the Republicans went down in flames, and there are not a lot of happy people at the top of the Republican Party. And like James said, it couldn't have happened to a nicer group.
So, we don't talk about local elections much here on TPC because this is a national show. We actually have a global audience. And so we don't focus much on the local news. But in light of your return after an eight-month sabbatical to run for office, I thought it would be appropriate just to mention and just to say that, yes, we did have a guilty pleasure in seeing them get routed everywhere.
Now the Democrats are in charge, and as Caesar said, let the games begin. It's really going to be funny to see what happens, particularly with all these kingmakers. There are about five families in Memphis that think they run everything. They will not run these people, and believe me, it's going to be a wild ride, James.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Is it good to have the voice of Keith Alexander back on TPC, or is it not? And yeah, Baltimore, here we come. For in Memphis.
Jackson, Mississippi, Detroit, we're right behind you. Nipping at your
heels. St. Louis, East St. Louis. Okay, hey, when we come back, we're going to turn Keith loose. He's been off for 8 months, and we're going to give him a couple of segments to just run free and unbridled. We're going to see what he wants to talk about. He's got 8 months of news to catch up on. What's he want to talk about first? We'll find out together when we come back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit american-heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Rome gets suddenly still, and when you'd almost bet you could hear yourself sweat, he walks in. Face every ear in the place is on him. Starting soft and slow, like a small earthquake. And when he lets go, half the valley shakes. It's love, all the love's a ball, the love's traveling salvation show. Back up the babies and grab the old.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many of these Southern Tent Revivals you've been to, but I've been to a few, and they are just about like that. I've told this story before, especially about where it's so hot you can hear yourself sweat. He ain't lying about that now, let me tell you. I walked out to the mailbox today and had that happen to me. But I've told this story before. I was down in rural Mississippi where my grandparents were from, and I was at the gas station. No, excuse me. It was on a street pole. It was on a light pole. And it said, Tent Revival tonight next to the gas station. Well, you didn't have to wonder what gas station it was because there's only one in town. And so that's how it goes. And I love Mississippi. I love the South. I love revivals, even though I can't go to church anymore. I can still go to church. I'm just not a Southern Baptist anymore. Keith knows all about that. Now, that's a whole other topic.
Well, let me, if the TPC audience doesn't have another takeaway from this show, I want you from now on, whenever you hear Neil Diamond, think Memphis and Chips Moman, because he's the genius that turned Neil Diamond into an international star in recording. In fact, Neil Diamond was a guy that got bumped when Elvis's entourage showed up and said that he wanted to use Chips Moman and put some tracks down right then. So Chips Moman had to tell Neil Diamond, who had was getting ready to fly from Hollywood out to Memphis to record something, he said, we'll have to bump you a week.
That's why Neil killed Elvis. All right,
Keith. I didn't know that.
Keith, you've been out for 8 months, and I know you want to apply your brilliant legal mind to the application of Brett Kavanaugh. And that's actually something that in all the news we've covered this year, and in many ways this has been our best year of broadcasting in terms of the caliber of guests. We had to fill such a hole that you left during your sabbatical that we've had guest after guest after guest each and every week, and it's just been fantastic. We got another one tonight, by the way, very quickly. Sam Dixon just spent a month in Russia. He just got
from
back.
Russia with love.
He just got back a week ago, and he's going to be on tonight during the second hour to tell you all about it. So please stay tuned for the second hour tonight to hear about Sam Dixon's experiences and observations made from spending the month of July in Russia. I can't wait to hear what he has to share with us. And then in the third hour tonight, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I are going to reminisce on the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville with a couple of people who were there. Eddie's got a couple of special guests tonight, and that's coming up in the third hour. So listen to the entire show. There's not going to be a wasted minute. But Brett Kavanaugh is actually one of the things that in all the stuff we covered this year has slipped through the cracks. We really didn't talk very much about him at all. I think I asked one question of one of the guests we had in the Midsummer Review series the last couple of weeks about Kavanaugh, but it was a very passing and fleeting answer. Keith, your take on Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Brett Kavanaugh, of course, has the good housekeeping seal, co-certified by the Conservatism, Inc. You know, they've all written all, I mean, signed off, which makes you suspicious of him, particularly in light of the Republican Party's history of appointing so-called conservatives that become a surprise package and turn out to be more liberal than the liberals on the court. For example, Harry Blackmun was supposedly a conservative appointed by Richard Nixon, and he wound up authoring the Roe versus Wade decision. John Paul Stevens, Gerald Ford did the same thing. David Souter with Ronald Reagan. It just, you know, the hits just keep on coming. But I will say this, Neil Gorsuch, at least so far, has been a pleasant surprise. He seems to be towing the conservative line. Now, of course, he's not the brilliant, sarcastic, mordant wit that Antonin Scalia was. But if Kavanaugh can live up to Gorsuch, then we may finally, during my lifetime, actually have a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. And that is solid gold, folks, because the Supreme Court is the left's court of last resort. It's their last card in their deck, and they use it all the time. It's the way that the 3% rule against the wishes of the 97% by inventing a constitutional right and then saying they're protecting it, which in that constitutional right is always some liberal program. Like the latest indignity that they did was gay marriage. They decided that gay marriage was a constitutionally protected right. I'm sure that John Adams and James Madison and Thomas Jefferson would be very shocked to hear that, but nonetheless, that's what they do. And now if that ploy, if that tactic is taken out of their playbook, then maybe we can start making some real headway. Now, this next election is crucial and key, and unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of rhinos, and I don't know what it is about Donald Trump. He doesn't seem to be able to separate the sheep from the goats in that regard, but we really, really need to let Trump have his head. Trump doesn't think just like us. He is a, you know, you're going to be disappointed with him if you're inclined to be. But on the other hand, he makes all the right enemies, James, don't you think?
I got to tell you something, Keith. You know, and by the way, let me tell you another thing about Keith. Even though he's been out for the last 8 months, he has listened to every show. And in point of fact, he has been in here for more weeks than he has not since last December. Even though he's been a silent partner, he still swings by the studio and sits in with us. You know, we had this for the last 2 weeks, we've had this Midsummer Review series.
Yeah.
And Mark Weber got back in touch with me after his appearance, and he wrote me an email about Trump, his assessment of Trump. And I thought it was so fantastic that I am going to post it at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday. But basically, Mark Weber thinks all the things that you just said. However, he thinks that Trump is going to end up being Ronald Reagan style fool's gold, in that it makes us feel good about perhaps we can reclaim America's destiny, but at the end he doesn't take it far enough. He doesn't speak candidly and explicitly about the racial dynamic to the problems that we face. And at the end of the day, he's going to fall short of the mark. Well, that was Mark Weber's very sober assessment, which we're going to share with you at our website on Monday.
And that's probably true. But on the other hand, I really don't think that race is the key. As I have matured through life, I really think that Jewish power and influence is the key. Basically, as I've said before, in the culture wars, the foot soldiers may be black, they may be Latino, they may be women, they may be homosexuals, whatever other groups, but the generals are always Jewish.
In any event, he's not talking about that for dead gum sure.
No,
he's not talking about either.
Well, he knows not to do that, but on the other hand, you know, who could have been better? It would have been wonderful if Pat Buchanan had the celebrity and the money that Donald Trump
did. No one is saying they're not glad. No one is saying, Mark Weber included, that they're not happy that Donald Trump defeated Hillary. I think we all
Donald Trump's the only guy that had the package, the full package. He had existing celebrity, and he had billions of dollars of his own. So, consequently, he was bulletproof, and he acted like he was bulletproof. He also has a lot of what Jewish people call chutzpah, and he's just not he wants to be liked, but on the other hand, he doesn't let not being liked by the mainstream media, for example, get him down. In fact, Twitter has been his salvation.
Yeah, he's one of the last people who has not been shadow banned on Twitter. I am certainly in that category, as well as so many of our friends and acquaintances on this show. But Trump is still there. Unlike Alex, well, I think Alex Jones is actually still there. It's the last platform he's still on, at least for now. He's hanging on by a thread. We're going to talk about that with Jack Ryan later this hour. But more from Keith Alexander when we return. Stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I received a message during the commercial break from an attorney in Washington, D.C. Now, Sam Bushman will know this particular attorney because he took us out for a fantastic steak dinner when we were up there for the inauguration. But that attorney just, I won't say this man's name out live over the air, but Sam Bushman wants me to tell you, sir, thank you from him, and we look forward to doing it again the next time we're in the district. But anyway, this attorney just messaged me during the break, and he said, it's so good to have you back, Keith. And I know he speaks for a large portion of our audience.
Look, I have missed this incredibly, and it's good to be back in the saddle.
Well, Keith, another piece of news that you picked up on that we have not yet covered originated from the bastion of fake news that is the New York Times. What's going on there?
The gray lady, as they call her. Well, the New York Times has hired as one of its editors, not its editor-in-chief, but one of its editors, one Sarah Zhang, I guess is how you pronounce this. She's an Asian woman who is noteworthy only for her intense hatred of white people, which she doesn't hide. And furthermore, the New York Times and every major newspaper, every major media outlet, basically the silence is deafening at best, or else they're basically jumping on her bandwagon, saying that she has every right to make these, hateful utterances.
So basically, we could say just about every establishment hack or scab journalist hates white people. And we would be right. But in her case, there is absolute ironclad evidence, and that comes in the form of her own words via social media. What exactly did she say again that you can recall?
Well, she said that she hates white people. She wishes white people would die. She says that it would be good if white men in the white race went extinct. I don't know.
I think she said something about physically attacking elderly white men in particular.
Yeah, to try to kill us all faster. But see, that type of stuff, somebody, I think it was some lady named Candace Owens, made a Twitter communication basically substituting black and then Jewish for white. And she immediately got banned from or deplatformed from whatever platform she was on, and she pointed out what she was doing, and then they kind of she caught them at their own game. It was a delicious irony that that's what happened. But basically what Sarah Zhang and her new elevation to the pantheon of editors at the New York Times, what it shows you is that every major newspaper in the United States is certifiably in the far left corner now. That's right. There's no longer any holdouts. They've basically wiped them out. And of course,
and we saw that in the form of every single newspaper in the world, except for one owned by Sheldon Adelson, I believe, endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Right. And see, the people, the consuming public hates this, and that's why all these newspapers are going out of business. For example, in Memphis, we have the Commercial Appeal, the only one left. We used to have the Press Seminar, used to have the Evening Appeal, all of these type of things. They've gone the way of the wild goose. And now the Communist Appeal, as we affectionately call it here, is basically USA Today with a couple of pages of news. It's published outside of Memphis now. It's published in Jackson, Tennessee. And they have little variations of it for all the major cities in Tennessee. But Gannett has basically put a lot of these bad journalists, people that write third-rate script and copy, out of the arena. And this is what is really fun. It's really fun that this is happening in Memphis. There is a bunch of out-of-work journalists that are trying to, they're getting some group to put an online
paper. There's not enough of them.
Yeah, called the Daily Memphian. It's going to come on, and they're going to hopefully draw down. They're splitting the very minuscule subscriber base of both papers, and maybe, hope against hope, they'll both go out of business, and we won't be plagued by their drivel any longer.
Well, I can guarantee you there's not going to be any difference in substance between this fledgling idea of a newspaper versus the one that currently exists here in town. And that's true
it's
of
just
every
a
major
left,
city.
Left wing. All the news is basically a left-wing echo chamber.
And Sam just sent us, speaking of the New York Times, admits that it lied about the crowd size of a Trump rally in Nashville. They corrected it only after the president called them out. But they will lie about anything and everything, and they do lie about anything and everything. But the thing that was so interesting about Sarah Jeong, and it's something that we can't fail to mention here when we're talking about it, is that, you know, they say people like us are hateful and bigoted because we love our people, we respect our ancestors, we don't regret the way that God made us, we're not going to abandon our mothers and fathers and dishonor them. But never have we said anything that was untruthful, and never have we attacked people.
Who among now, our these movement people, has said anything
exactly?
Even
can you imagine?
This?
Never. The 14-year history of the political cesspool have we said, I want to go around and beat up elderly black people. I wish black people would die. No, we have never and would never say that. But she said it, and she gets elevated to one of the most prestigious positions in all of establishment journalism. And not only that, everyone to a man or woman defended her. She was defended by the entirety of the establishment press, television, print, audio.
One of those comments that she made would have been enough to scuttle the career of
compared to Laura Ingraham. Well, Laura Ingraham said this week, let's compare the two. What did Laura Ingraham say versus Sarah Jeong, and what was the reaction that Laura Ingraham suffered
versus Ingraham
Sarah Jeong?
Laura Ingraham is a white nationalist now. She's a secret member of the Ku Klux Klan and needs to be driven out of Fox. Same thing for Tucker Carlson.
And what did Laura say? Yeah, I'm the leader of the Klan. That's right. Laura Ingraham just said basically that the America we knew no longer exists, and that gets her a Klansman. In the meantime, this Sarah Jeong can say that she hates white people, and it's complete. They defend her. They say, "Well, that's not racist."
In fact, the left confirms Laura Ingraham's observation. They say that they want to change America. We want to change America back.
And of course, Laura cooks.
And on the other hand. Well, of course she cooked.
She said, I wasn't talking about race. Yeah, you were. I mean, of course you were.
And Tucker Carlson. Well, the thing is, both Fox News and the Republican Party candidates are going to have to move further to the right and be more outspoken rather than less if they want to win elections, if they want to win ratings. That's just the long and the short of it, James.
But nevertheless, let's not let a piece of hypocrisy or double standard trip us up, establishment lying press. So Sarah Jeong can say that she wants to injure and damage and harm and attack white people, and that's not racist. And we basically defend our heritage, and I'm the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, according to a court in Michigan.
And Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson go through this elaborate kabuki dance where they dance around the issue and suggest it but don't actually say it. And they're cast into the outer darkness. This is we live in.
And that's their only. That's their only problem, by the way, and their deficiency is that they weren't honest enough to admit what they were really talking about.
The thing is, you can always find fault. But quite frankly, I'm glad they're pushing that mainstream conservative.
They're doing better. They're doing better work than Sarah Jeong. Let's not
kid ourselves. There are only three people on Fox News that I ever pay much attention to at all. They are Lou Dobbs, Tucker Carlson, and Laura Ingraham. And my hat's off to them, let's eat your Wheaties and, get vim and vigor in your pep in your step, and let's come out and let's take the left on their own terms, head on. That's the only way that we're going to win the culture war, folks.
Well, I'll tell you what, I said it once and I'll say it again. It's great to have you back tonight. Now, Keith Alexander, of course, let's just treat Keith as a star athlete. When you take 8 months off, when you have an extended off season, you can't expect a man to come back and be in midseason form. And so we only let Keith come in for training camp tonight. We gave him basically three segments, and then we got Jack Ryan coming up next. But I think Keith's ready for some extended play. I think he's coming back not missing a beat, as if it never happened. And
that rotator cuff surgery worked, folks.
We've got good trainers here.
I've got the fastball working.
We've got good trainers here at the TPC Clubhouse. Anyway, so we only have Keith for the first hour tonight. Sam Dixon up at the top of the second hour. He's going to tell us all about his time spent in Russia. You don't want to miss that. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, we're going to reflect on Charlottesville. This is the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville. Rich Hamblin and Gene Andrews, the great Gene Andrews. All three of those men, Eddie, Rich, and Gene, were there.
I wonder if Gene is in charge of Forrest's birthplace up in Middle Tennessee. And if we're not going to have Forrest statue in Memphis, my vote is put it under Gene's protection.
You will remember, of course, last December when the Forrest statue was stolen illegally from its resting place atop his grave here in downtown Memphis, that Gene came on the radio, and he had asked for that to be transferred to his custody years earlier.
I've just made a video for a friend down in Mobile, and I captured Jefferson Davis's pedestal before they took it down. You may hear more about that later, folks.
All right, stay tuned. Jack Ryan's up next, then Sam Dixon, then Eddie and his guest. It's all coming up tonight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services. I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Your love gives me such a thrill. But your love is gonna pay my bill. I want some money, money, yeah. That's what I want. That's what I want. Don't get on, I
All right. You know, anytime we get funky on TPC, Jack Ryan has to be not far behind. And Jack is with us tonight with a provocative musical selection, but for good reason. Jack?
How are you, sir? How are you, sir? That's Chicago native, my favorite Chicago blues guy, Buddy Guy, saying that he wants your money. So tonight we sort of, we do want some of our listeners' money. So that's why I played the song.
Well, that's right, and certainly we can always, it's always much needed and much appreciated here at TPC, always appreciated but never expected, as I like to tell our loyal contributors, and they are loyal, and we love you, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing we do is possible without you, but that's not what we're bringing this to your attention for tonight. It's actually for a fellow brother in the cause, and Jack's going to tell you about it.
Yeah, I'm a writer for Occidental Descent, which I think is a great blog. It's a Southern nationalist, populist, immigration patriot place. And the head editor there is a younger guy than I am, Brad Griffin. He went to Auburn. I went to Vanderbilt. We're being harassed, stalked, and intimidated in just a variety of ways, deplatformed, all kinds of things. I've lost Twitter accounts, Facebooks, or things like that. But Brad is being harassed in a legal harassment suit. The fact that he was actually at the Charlottesville protest, he didn't do anything or plan anything, but they are just targeting all the people there. So he's forced to hire lawyers and defend himself for like $5,000 to just try to, you know, dismiss the case. We've got a couple donors that are going to match the donation. We really haven't done much fundraising in Oxford, but it's something that we need to do, and we've been poor at it, and our enemies are, they're great at fundraising. The Southern Poverty Law Center raised $400 million offshore accounts. Now, they lie and scare people and stuff like that. But fundraising is just something that you have to do. And seeing as our enemies have intimidated and scared off all our advertisers, we do have to do a better job of fundraising, like NPR, public television. We need to have our listeners support us in some modest way. So we're doing a little fundraising tonight. Please go to Occidental Descent and make a small contribution. And we do have one person that's going to match a lot of the funding. So we hope to keep Occidental Descent on the air. And we've done a lot of great work and good writers. And we want to keep our people in the cause. But we tonight, I played Buddy Guy. We want your money.
Brad Griffin, of course, has been a longtime friend of mine, like so many of the people we feature on this show. And Brad's a good guy. He is a family man, a husband, a father of a young son, Jordy. And, of course, you hear Brad fairly regularly here as a guest on this program. And he is the chief, the editor-in-chief at OccidentalDescent.com. If you go to OccidentalDescent.com tonight, you'll see a closed page and a link to donate. Brad has been named in one of the Charlottesville lawsuits, I guess because he was there and he was breathing air. I guess that's an offense now. And he needs your help. So we want to help you help Brad, and that's how you can do it. Now, another thing, of course, this censorship, and this all goes back to the censorship, I think. We've seen now Alex Jones. The cancer has metastasized all the way up to Alex Jones, who runs scared about any truth about race or really reality. He has blamed his deplatforming on the communist Chinese. Last I looked, Alex, I'm sorry, buddy, but they're not in control of the social media platforms. They're not in control of the media. You know, I did read some interesting articles in the Los Angeles Times and in some other trade magazines from Jewish writers who said Jews actually control the media. I don't know if you take their word for it. Do so at your own peril. Agreeing with them on that matter may make you anti-Semitic. But it's not the Chinese that deplatformed you, Alex. I'm sorry. But if it can go all the way up to Alex, Jack, it really is going to go everywhere. I saw something laughable, though, this week. Lauren Southern. I like some of Lauren's stuff. But Lauren Southern said first they came for Alex Jones. No, Lauren. No, sweetheart. They didn't first come for Alex Jones. TPC was deplatformed from Facebook in 2007. As far as the state of emergency has been declared in Washington or in Virginia this weekend because of the Unite the Right anniversary. They declared a state of emergency in 2008 when I tried to hold a conference in here in the Memphis area with David Duke. So, in fact, TPC really set a precedent for that. That happened before Ameren was booted from hotels. We set the precedent on all that. So it didn't start with Alex Jones, really, as far as our movement is concerned. I'm not sure if anyone suffered some of these things before we did. We were doing it more than a decade ago. We were getting deplatformed from social media. State of emergencies were being called when we tried to exercise our First Amendment rights and the right of free and peaceful assembly. So it didn't start with Alex, but it has gotten up to Alex. And if you can reach a guy like him who never really addresses matters of race, doesn't look good, Jack. And of course, Brad's suffering that tonight as well, and many sure. more to follow.
Well, it is. And one of my claims of fame is I've been a leader in exposing this cult of libertarianism, that anything private is good and anything government is bad. And it appeals to young people. In college, you have the freedom and stuff. But these are private businesses that are screwing us over. And that doesn't mean that, like, a government that's on your side that helps you can protect you, but private businesses that form monopolies and take away your rights and persecute you, that's not good. And just the fact that if the private entity, Facebook, Microsoft, we did protests against Tyson Foods in Tennessee, flooding Middle Tennessee with very low-wage Somalian Muslim workers and other illegal aliens. So these libertarians think that anything goes, capitalism is a good thing, and then it always works against us. So these people in National View, these neoconservatives, say, well, it's a private business, and they can choose who they work for. But if you're a Southern business hotel owner and you have a private business, you want to determine who you rent your rooms to, they say, well, you can't do that. You can't discriminate against the worst homosexuals or black nationalist rap singers or Jewish communists. We don't have private rights stuff, but the other side does it against us. So this is just a case where our people are being attacked, our culture is being insulted and abused, and we have to defend ourselves as best we can. But this idea that anything goes capitalism, libertarianism, but it's going to work for us when we've got social media and Hollywood media mafia, it's a monopoly against us. So that's, I'm sorry, but no, that's not going to work. And there's other places in Eastern Europe, Hungary and Poland, Russia, that understand the situation. And they try to do this stuff in Russia, and Vladimir Putin put the words Yukos oil oligarch in a public cage when he was trying to do this and sent him to forced labor camp in Siberia. Okay, so there's
now that's what we need.
Yeah, we have some guys on our side that know the score and know how to fight back. So I don't have the power of Vladimir Putin, but you know, we're going to not give in. We're going to defend our people, and we've got to defend one of our best guys tonight, Brad Griffin, and hopefully our blog will stay up and we'll continue to do the great things that we do.
Brad Griffin is one of the most prolific writers that we have. He is an historian in his own right, and certainly I call him the scribe for our cause. He is he's a great talent and a great resource, and we got to band together, folks. If we don't help our brothers in times of need, I can guarantee you nobody else will. Jack, I want to say two things to you very quickly. We got just a couple of minutes left with you this evening. I appreciate the fact, and I think everybody in our audience does, and I want to bring this to the audience's attention. And I told you this, Jack, the other day. The fact that a man would take off time every Saturday night to be with us, as Jack does, I want to give you a public commendation for that. And Keith Alexander also said how much he's been enjoying your segments as you've come on hard and heavy with us each and every week in 2018. But with just a couple of minutes remaining, we should get to the recommendations if you have any this week. We certainly don't want to let a segment go without you getting out those recommendations.
Okay, so both my book and movie recommendations have a time travel theme. My book recommendation is Mark Twain, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. I use the term Yankee, but it's not affiliated with the South. And then the movie recommendation is Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris. I love this movie, and this is going to show we don't just arbitrarily dislike Ashkenazi Jewish people. You know, if there's talented, good people, and I just like most of Woody Allen's movies. I think they're positive. I think they're set in good cities. And this is a story about a regular American. He's kind of a guy like me. He likes to write. He likes to be in cities, and he's engaged to a beautiful woman that's kind of an airhead, and her family's her idiot. But he imagines himself in this beautiful time of Paris, and he goes into time travel and gets taken back to Paris in the 1920s every midnight. It's a great movie. I like 2011. And then I recommend almost all of Mark Twain's work. And it's a story of a 18th century guy from Connecticut that gets thrown into 6th century Camelot, England. And he looks to change the place. That's interesting adventures. They made a Bing Crosby movie out of it. I didn't think it was that great, but I highly recommend the book and highly recommend the movie Midnight in Paris by Woody Allen. Owen Wilson, I think, is an actor. He played in some stupid comedies, but he's great in this. I love it. It's romantic comedy, and I very much identify with the lead.
Now, Jack, would you be on board? Would you be on board with Woody's alleged sexual proclivities?
I don't really get involved in all of the ones. I don't take a position. People accuse people. You know, it's there. He ended up marrying his stepdaughter. You know, Hollywood ain't full of a lot of good, wholesome Christians. You know, I separate the art from the artist. Woody Allen's life is a lot better than Roman Polanski's life. But Woody Allen doesn't have that Talmudic, just hatred.
We will ponder these things in our hearts as the Bible tells us to do. We'll see you next week, Jack. Thank you, brother. Sam Dixon up next.